Blog Talk Radio.
recoveringfromreligion.org, and this is for people transitioning out of the church and that may have some questions, and they have local groups, and we are starting a local group for the Chicago area, and that information is forthcoming as well. And in addition, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, I posted some information on my pages regarding their campaign. They're doing a video campaign. The information is available. They're asking people to make YouTube videos and send the information in to the email address that I provided. So with that being said, I also wanted to talk about the Day of Solidarity for Black Nonbelievers. This year was extremely successful, and we are in the planning stages for next year. So next year, Sunday, February 24th, 2013, will be the official day of solidarity for Black Nonbelievers. We're asking people to start planning now. If you have any questions, you can contact Mr. Donald Wright. Send an email to aadayofsolidarity@yahoo.com. Again, that's aadayofsolidarity@yahoo.com. And Mr. Donald Wright, you all may have him as your friend on Facebook as well. So we're looking forward to all of that. And so, which, without much further ado, we are going to start our conversation with Reggie Finley, Mr. Infidel Guy himself. I posted a couple of his links in the room, infidelguy.com, and I also posted his YouTube channel. So his YouTube moniker is Infidel Guy. So you all should be able to find that easily as well. So, again, as we move forward, Mr. Reginald Finley, thank you and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Wonderful introduction.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And I just would like to say, you know, for myself and several other people, thank you. You were one of the first people that I saw in the Free Thought community, you and Norm and a couple of other people, when I was looking for answers. And it's just absolutely refreshing to, you know, actually get a chance to speak with you and introduce you to the people who may not have, you know, may not have had interacted with in any way whatsoever. And to also let you guys know, Reggie was the first podcaster talking about Free Thought Community, basically the Black Free Thought Community. And Reggie, you know, we applaud your efforts and we want to tell you we miss you.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm actually blushing over here. I mean, it's been a while. I mean, since many people don't know, but I started as early as in October 1999. That was when I very, very first started with my very first website, which was a geocities.com website. And my whole goal, really, when I first started it, was to see were there any more minority atheists out there, because, of course, the assumption is that there are plenty of white atheists out there, but where are the minorities? So my very first site was kind of dedicated to that. And, in fact, I started a Yahoo group called the Black Atheist Group, and then I even bought the domain blackatheist.com. But eventually, I just could not seem to get the membership up, and so I ended up converting it to just like a Black History page. And I eventually just absorbed that into my infidelguy.com page, and that's pretty much what happened. And you're right. When I first came out as an atheist, I only found one of the Black atheists, and that was Norm Allen Jr. And he was the very first and only person I knew of that was a Black freethinker back then. And there was only like a handful of other free thought media programs out at the time. The AFL show was one of the earliest shows, and that was published by Jake, who is also now my partner with atheistnetwork.com. And he was the one that kind of inspired me, because I was following his shows, but he wasn't doing them as frequently as I would have liked. So I said, Jake, how do you do this? Because I want to talk to people too. And he explained to me how he did it, and I just took his idea, and I improved upon it, and I started using newer technologies and really trying to just get, you know, make an impact in the community with the tools and resources. And surprisingly and phenomenally, it just grew from there. And the program was at its height in about 2004, 2005, and right around the time ABC's Wife Swap came down to film My Family. And that was when it was at its apex. But then the economy then collapsed after that. And most of my subscribers, and that's how I made a living and I supported my family, was through subscription model. Through the show, where people could access all the archives. I have about 500 recordings in my archives. And when the economy collapsed, I polled my users and my gold members, and I said, why did you leave the site? Well, I mean, why aren't you paying anymore? What happened? And they said, I lost my job. And I kept hearing that over and over and over again. So lo and behold, I'm a radio show host too, so, you know, I'm very wordy, but lo and behold, long story short, I eventually ended up I began to look for other employment, and I noticed that a lot of the people that were listening to my programs, they were telling me, hey, Reggie, thank you so much for your show. I just got my PhD. I've been listening to your show since middle school. And,
oh,
and I said,
wow.
What? Yeah. And I said, okay, you know what? It is. I mean, it really was, but it was depressing at the same time, because it reminded me of how much time I dedicated to the free thought movement that I didn't spend any time for myself. And so I pulled away, and I started back on my education. I earned my bachelor's degree in human development, and now I'm working on my master's in the public understanding of science. And so that is what I'm doing. But I'm doing that to make sure I'm in a position to have something to fall back on, and at the same time have that clout that I need to kind of take my show to the next level when I come back. And the next program is going to be a video program, and that's what I'm working on right now in the background. I'm working on two books, and I'm also working on a video program. And so hopefully within the next few years, after I get my degrees and I start working on my PhD, I'll be able to come back even stronger with some new content and material.
Excellent. Well, we're happy to hear that. And, you know, you definitely have our support. You know that. And anything that, you know, we can do to assist you when it's time for you to release your book, let me know. And, you know,
I do. I have a request. All right. If any of your listeners have won the Mega Millions, you know, just send a little bit my way. You know, just 1 million would do it. You know, just 1 million, I'll be good. You know, I promise to invest in
life. You're not greedy. You say you're not greedy.
No, I'm not greedy. Yeah, just one measly little million out of your 325 million. Yeah, come on, you know. So, yeah. I'm ready to come back.
And we're ready for you to be back. You know, again, like I said, you're truly missed. You're truly missed and, you know, definitely admired and supported. You know, you have plenty of us out here that have been looking for you and, you know, we learned a lot from your show. I used to come into the chat room for your show. You may remember the name Epistemology Quest. That's me.
That's me.
And I used to come to your show and, you know, listen in all the time, and I learned a great deal from you. And, you know, again, you know, we're moving forward. And my question to you right now is, you know, what are your feelings? How do you feel about the free thought community now that you see, you know, an upswing in minority participation?
Wow. I mean, you know what is growing phenomenally, and I am almost speechless when I think about how much more how many more people are beginning to come out, and people are changing their minds. I mean, more and more of us are beginning to change our minds. There's a lot of more resources out there. We're becoming a much bigger and prominent force. And again, coming from where I came from, when it was only me and Norm, you know, at least as far as we knew it, you know. And of course, the internet has a lot to do with this as well. I'm pretty sure there are tons of us out there, but it's just that there wasn't any way for us to all communicate. And the internet now, especially Facebook, you know, is allowing that to happen, and it is just phenomenal. There's so much more positive stuff coming out of this movement now with the Black Freethinkers than negative, but we have some negatives out there that we need to squash. And
exactly.
I don't want to say any names. I don't want to say the name of the organization, you know, but let's just say that there's some Black atheists in Atlanta, you know, in some other places. Look, I love you guys. No, I don't. I don't like you guys. Look, get me on your show. And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, and you're going about this the wrong way. But I know you mean well, brothers, but you need – oh, my gosh. I need to talk to those guys. I feel like I need to practice damage control. You know, it's like
yeah.
I got to get on a show and fix it. I feel like you just completely segregate – you ostracize Black atheists on many fronts, and that needs to be rectified. You know, and
exactly.
And it's a shame, but that goes to prove, right? Like, just because you're an atheist, it doesn't mean you're smart. You know,
exactly.
And sometimes we make a lot of bad decisions, but thank goodness there are really good organizations out there that are still, you know, trying to show that we're critical thinkers, not just atheists. You know, and we're social revolutionists as well, and we're empathetic and we're kind and we understand, you know,
for
but
sure.
We're not going to stand for bullcrap either. And we need more of that. And that is what my radio show tried to push for years. And some people might not realize, remember, but there was a number of schisms that occurred within my site. You know, you had some people left because they wanted to be more dogmatic and attack the religious people more aggressively. And I was vehemently against that. And I said, that's not what we want to do. I mean, we call them out on a bull, but there's no reason to go out there and call them idiots and stupid and attacking them, you know, and just harassing them. There's no reason
exactly.
for that. And so we split up, you know, so someone, I mean, and it was bad. And I say, why can't we all get together? But again, we have to remember that, you know, just because you're an atheist, it doesn't mean, or a free thinker or agnostic or whatever, it doesn't mean you're going to always see eye to eye on how we should go about handling, you know, the social aspects of the activism that we're trying to inculcate and to get out there.
Exactly. And I agree with you, and I personally feel that we need a, you know, softer, gentler message, if you will, because we want to open up the dialogue. We want them to want to sit down and to speak with us so that we can speak civilly and rationally and make our case and allow them to rebut and make their case, and we rebut in turn. But it's about opening up dialogue. It's about communicating. And with some people, you have to give them time. You know, it's one young lady in particular that is now a free thinker, or as she likes to say, you know, a dissatisfied believer. But now she's over in our camp, if you will, and she's learning. But it took me a couple of years to get through to her. Some people don't have that kind of patience. I happen to be one of those people that do. But in turn, yeah, you know, but in turn, I feel that the free thought community, there is much, much more that we can offer, because one of the feedbacks, you know, pieces of feedback that I've gotten from believers or pseudo-believers, if you will, is they continue to go to church because of the support system and the services that the church offers. So where do we fall in there? And so, you know, again, my method to my madness, if you will, is don't chase them, replace them, if you will. Not going to chase after the church and tell them why they are wrong. We're just going to replace you. We are going to replace a lot of the social services. We are going to replace a lot of the services that they offer the community, and we will offer them. We will have our methodology to social justice and helping the community. And, you know, this is where I feel the free thought community has been asleep, because many have been pointing their fingers at the church, but what do you have to offer? What have you been doing to help the community? And this is one of the reasons why, in my opinion, it's been taking so long for people to transition out of religion into free thought, because they don't necessarily see us doing anything productive and constructive. And I want to change that particular image in our community.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just think it's important. Yeah, I think it's important that we move on and, you know, we go into the community and show them that, you know, you can be good without a deity, and that morality does not come from the Bible. You cannot use the Bible, because if that's the case, then, you know, we should all be running around raping and committing adultery and doing a bunch of the things in the Bible, because they love to uphold some of their heroes, you know, especially Paul. Paul was killing them. So what are you trying to say? That's the moral compass that we should use in order to, you know, be considered moral? I mean, that makes no sense. Regardless of ideology, I feel that genocide and killing is wrong. But getting back to those people who shall not be named in Atlanta, okay, you know, they caused quite a bit of confusion. They've caused
Doubt. Exactly. Because people go, oh, so that's what they believe. You know, also that's what black atheists believe. Oh, okay, great. You know, they're like, what? No, you know, that's not us. You know, and I really regret it, because I feel like I'm like a pro boxer sitting on the sidelines, but I can't jump in and knock the opponent out, you know, because I'm so busy doing other things, I can't jump in there and fix it right away. But I was so happy to hear that there are so many other groups out there also opposing this, you know, some of the things that they were saying, and trying to, you know, again, provide some damage control. I also like to go back to what you mentioned earlier about, you know, replacing services and stuff of that nature. That is so, so correct, because the problem is that we don't have a culture of science. We don't have a culture of critical thought. We don't have a culture of intellectualism. We have a culture of faith. We have a culture of technology, but not understanding the technology. I mean, and this is what these are a lot of the problems we keep coming up with. So the only way you can replace these systems is that we definitely have to start trying to create a whole mass of culture, you know, and we do that by some of the things you're talking about. Stop addressing, in some respects, I mean, it's good to address the faults they have, you know, like, I'm sorry, like the creationists and stuff. We have to, I think it's good that we have a group that attacks them and works on that front, but we do need other fronts as well that work on charity and social activities and stuff like that. So I think everybody's kind of doing their part, but the last thing we need is a group of black atheists saying, yeah, homosexuality is unnatural.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's the
and
last thing we need.
Right, and they're coming up with their own theology, their own laws, if you will,
oh,
the
yeah.
laws of nature and all. It's just, you know, one of the reasons why I don't necessarily address them or talk about them is because you still have some people coming out of religion that still have that religiosity in the back of their mind. So they've been taught that certain things were sin or were against nature or were wrong. And if we give attention to those people, then people may go over there thinking that this is the correct way to be. Now, it may be a stepping stone, but in the meantime, they're going to be confused because they're teaching them a lot of that black nationalism. And, you know, it's very convoluted. And, yeah, it definitely needs to be addressed. There are several things in our community that needs to be addressed. You know, we got some people with anger management issues that need to be addressed. Again, you know, talking about the stages of grief. You know, people leaving and transitioning out of religion, sometimes they go through, you know, the stages of grief. So, you know, you have your depression and your pleading and your bargaining, and many of them do not understand the emotions and the transitions that they're going through, you know, intrinsically. And so that's why I think it's important that people like us be able to talk to them and explain some of the things that are happening, but also with programs like Recovering from Religion, and they can refer them to mental health care facilities that can help them, you know, come to terms with whatever they may happen to be going through. I just think it's important, and, you know, that we help people to help themselves. We don't want to handicap them in a way that we do everything for them, but we want to encourage them to think and encourage them to live their lives for themselves. Exactly.
No doubt. And I was just having a conversation with a fellow a black free thinker today, in fact, for breakfast today, who was visiting in town, and we were talking about, you know, what can we do, you know, how do we approach, you know, educating people or getting them, you know, what takes priority, education or getting them to self-reflect and discover on their own and stuff like that. And one big issue is, and this is a really good debate or, you know, education tactic for those who are out there who are active in trying to help people see the world differently. It's not about how much information you have and how you tell it to them. That's not really the point. Because we have tons of information that we can tell them, you know, let's say creationists, for instance, you know, their geology is incorrect, their knowledge of geology is incorrect, their theology is incorrect, a lot of other science information they have is incorrect. Now, do we just inundate them with a whole bunch of facts? Is that really going to help? But
no,
not necessarily.
Overwhelmed.
You know, so, yeah, exactly. So what we do is, yep, as the old adage is, right, you know, teach a man how to fish, blah, 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 right? So, same thing is, we have to work on helping them learn how to develop their own critical thinking skills, how to ask the right questions. And so typically, and if those people who have listened to my show know that I've done this a lot, I ask questions. I'll ask the person that I'm talking to, well, why do you think this? Well, why do you think it's okay? Well, if the earth is this way, then how come we don't see this? And you have to ask them these questions. That way they're thinking for themselves. And even if they do not come up with an answer, if they just say, I don't know, that's good enough, you know, because that means they're at least admitting the limits of their knowledge, and that's kind of where we need to get more people to realize that you don't know as much as you think you know, and that's okay. Now, let me point you to the resources where you can learn more about this.
Exactly, and us in the Free Thought community, some of us need to learn a little bit more patience, because some people get a little frustrated when believers start asking, you know, a myriad of questions. But that's a good thing. If they're asking questions, that means they're thinking. They're thinking. And it's okay for us not to have answers, too. It's okay for us to say, I'm not quite sure. Let me go and research that. Give me your information, and I will contact you back with information, or I'll direct you to someone who can answer your questions for you. We have, you know, again, we have so many different people in this community with different types of expertises, and, you know, we need to utilize these resources. It's important that, you know, we work within our community, work with each other to, you know, espouse, you know, that there is an alternative, that people have options.
Exactly. It's funny you mentioned that, too, because I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said, go ahead, hon, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was mentioning, you know, I'm not only on a social aspect, but as well as I noticed also it's been helpful for me, too, that you're right. When it comes to, I've talked to people who kind of want to get out of the faith, but they don't quite know how. And I realize what it is there's so many aspects that they don't realize can be easily replaced, or that getting rid of some of those things isn't a bad idea. And I realize there's fear. A lot of fear is involved. You know, there's fear of, well, their God. There's fear of going to hell. So I've noticed that if, for those who like to try to deconvert people, this is a good technique that I've utilized. You know, you have to kind of help them get rid of that fear. You have to show them that there's a community of people that supports them. You have to show them that there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with questioning, and help them realize that their thoughts are okay. That the thoughts they have that these things aren't quite right, that's perfectly fine. So yeah, so I think that sense of community and patience and stuff like that can also help people come out of their faith. Because again, the big reason why a lot of people hang on to their faith because one, that's all they know, tradition and fear. And once you get rid of the fear, it's like a stack of cards. It just starts to collapse. And that works well for me. By the way, for the record, I am in the Blog Talk Radio chat room. I just found out Blog Talk Radio told me that my account has been disabled, and I don't know why. So I got to contact them and find out what happened. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure why. Yeah, it might be because I haven't used it for a while, but I've uploaded quite a number of shows there. So I don't know why they disabled my account. I have no idea. But I am looking at the chat room, so for the record.
Excellent. You know, we have a lot of great commentary coming out of the chat room. And Dr. Bev, she posted a link for the 8 stages of grief. And you are correct, you know, eliminating that fear, because many people in the church, they're controlled by guilt, shame, and fear. And once we start eliminating some of these things, especially with some of the issues around, you know, sex and sexuality, you know, use guilt, shame to control those people. And once we start explaining certain things, because one of the videos that's going around now is basically talking about FOM, and they had, you know, some people talking about, you know, homosexuality and how the FOM was using the issue of homosexuality to use the black community and pit it against, you know, the gay community. And it's a lot of that happening, not only with that particular topic, but several other topics. It's called divide and conquer. And, you know, again, once we eliminate the fear, guilt, and shame, then we can get people to start thinking rationally and looking beyond what's immediately in front of them. That's why I posted a video yesterday dealing with cognitive dissonance, showing people that perception is not necessarily reality. And once you start explaining these things and showing them, they can grow. It's all about growing and evolving.
That's right. You know, it's interesting you talk about that cognitive dissonance, and there's also a cognitive disequilibrium as well. You know, this is so interesting, this whole, yeah, the fear of thinking outside the box. It is just amazing how powerful that is. One thing I thought, as an aside, one thing I always thought was quite interesting, and I brought this up on a show in the past, is that you have people who, they claim to be religious, you know, but they act like they, in their day-to-day lives, they act like, I don't want to say they act like atheists, but they act like they don't really believe it. And I haven't figured out, like, what strange compartmentalization is that in your head when you really believe that, you know, that the divine creator is all around you at all times, yet you still fornicate, you still lie, you still cheat, you still murder, you still kill, you know, you still deceive, you still have premarital sex, but you're the one that really believes that this divine police officer is watching you 24/7. So to me, that kind of clues in to, I've always argued that God is really a tool that they utilize. You know, it's a convenient tool for them that they can pull out of their pocket and put into their pocket at will when they feel like it. And I love bringing that out as a fact. I say, you don't really believe as much as you think you do. So you're chastising me for not believing, but you're doing stuff worse than I'm doing. You know,
exactly.
So it's, yeah.
No, exactly. No, I agree with you. I use that argument all the time. And I also use the argument that they're the Antichrist. All right, so hold on, wait. I use the example that they are the Antichrist because if Christ lives within them, but yet they continue to commit these quote-unquote sins, and they do it willfully, then they are going against the anointing that is in them. They are going against the Christ that is in them. So they are the true Antichrist, and that's only after they call me one that I start using that particular argument.
Interesting.
Because, it makes them think.
Right. Huh. Like there's really no true, you know, Christian either. Because no one can be like Christ. You know, and that's what they say, being Christian, being Christ-like. Like, Christ was perfect, and you guys are far from perfect. So, like, no one can truly be Christ-like. I've always thought that was interesting. It's like you're trying to be something they're not. And another irritating issue, since we're talking about some irritating things, but what is up with this new, with this movement that Christianity is not a religion? This is driving me nuts. Because I'm single now, you know, so I'm out on the dating scene, and as many of my Facebook friends know, I'm pathetically trying to date all the time. It's like I think I have a different girlfriend like every 2 weeks. But but you go to these dating websites though, right? And they're saying, "Oh, I'm non-religious." And you talk to them, and you find out very quickly that they're very religious. And I ask them, "You know, why are you saying you're not religious?" "Well, I have a personal relationship with Christ. That's not religion." I'm like, okay, how often do you go to church? 3 times. It's like, yeah, you're religious.
Oh, too funny. Yeah, and when you try to explain to them when they say that they're spiritual but not a Christian, or they have a relationship with Christ and not a Christian, you explain to them that's the no-truth Scott Smith philosophy. You know, when you can break their arguments down and tell them where it's false.
Right.
Exactly, exactly. We have a caller on the line. We have Kenneth, and I also have Mario on the line as well. Kenneth,
I don't want to talk to Kenneth or Mario. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Wow. Okay. Yo, how's it going?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, Kim. I want to say congrats. I just found the website and calling in for the first time. And that introduction, the music sequence was excellent. I was like bobbing my head the whole time during the whole intro. Fantastic.
Thank you, Kenneth. I appreciate it. That's our new theme song. It was written by Imani the Misfit. He'll be our guest next week. He's an R&B artist, and he's a fantastic young man. Tune in next week. You'll hear him. Fantastic. Thank you, Kenneth.
Very good. Yep. And you know what, Reggie, I've been following with Infinite God for quite some time now. I've definitely been on the messaging boards for probably half a year now, almost a year now, and had some very lively debate there. So I was glad to see that you're going to be on board today on Blog Talk Radio. Good to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm wondering about your guys' perception with this insurgence of religion coming into the political board. You see in all of these politics, specifically Mr. Sanctorum leading the charge here, having such regard with religion coming into the forefront now. How do you guys perceive that coming into the presidential campaign here in 2012?
It's hard for me to actually envision that it's going to have any real power between them. I think that it might hurt them more in the long run, because what's going to end up probably happening is they're going to start attacking each other's beliefs. But I think they're smart enough to try to avoid that. They're trying to avoid that. But I think, you know how when this stuff starts getting down and dirty, I think eventually they're going to start going back and forth on each other's beliefs, which is going to be kind of silly. I'm not so certain the majority of the public, even really gives a crap. I mean,
exactly.
All these polls about this and polls about that, you know, you got to look at a sample group, probably no numbers. I mean, you got to look at who they're polling. It's like, come on, nobody really cares about this whole religion thing. You know, I think that they're going to do just as horrible as any other president in history. I mean, if they were to become elected. I mean, so I think that we're more concerned. I think we might be more concerned than actually we need to be concerned, to be honest. Yes, they said a lot of off-the-wall stuff. You know, even Bush, as religious as he was, he could have done a much worse job, if you really think about it, considering how religious he actually was. So, you know, so when you think about these guys are trying to vie for this and that, and who knows if they even get elected, you know, I'm just not even sure if anybody's even taking them seriously. This election has turned out to be kind of a joke for everybody. And
everyone's
talking about it. It's almost like something we're supposed to do. It's like we're supposed to do it, so we're going to do it. But nobody really cares. You know, it's the weirdest thing. It's like Obama's not perfect. Some people are like, hey, just leave him in office anyway, because the alternative is just as screwy. You know, so anyway, so those are some of my, I don't want to get into the details of the politics, but the general consensus that I've noticed from people I've talked to about it and what I've seen coming in from the news is that it's just not as serious as it was, you know, 4 years ago. So
exactly. And I agree. I agree, because basically, you know, when I see the candidates that are out there now, all I see basically are a bunch of bad actors.
Yes.
And, you know, when you sit there and you watch them, look at their faces. Sometimes they're like
I can't believe these people really believe this crap. Just pay attention to their faces. It's absolutely amazing. But, you know, regarding, you know, voting, just voting in general, I believe we all need to register to vote. I believe we need to get out there and vote against and throw out the people who are, again, diametrically opposed to any type of social justice, you know, and hiding behind these different laws and trying to turn this country into a theocracy. So, again, that's why we need to pay attention to what they're saying, because somebody is voting for them. And that's what we need to watch out for. And that's why I feel that we need to continue to be out here on the front line and speaking with people and getting the truth out there, because the technology and the internet, all of this has helped us turn, you know, things around. There are more people identifying as non-believers, as, you know, not religious, so on and so forth. So that's a great thing. Our numbers are going up. Hamet had an article on his page the other day, and I posted this on my Facebook page, but he was showing the new Pew Research and how it was showing that, you know, pretty much almost, you know, a quarter of the population is anywhere between 25-30%. I don't have the statistics in front of me right now, but that's a large number of people who identify as no religion or non-believer. So, you know, we're getting better. And then there's also the National Atheist Party, if you're not familiar with them. We do have a National Atheist Party. They will be on the show soon. I have them scheduled out to come on the show. So then, you know, if you want to call back at that time, you know, you'll be able to speak with them, because I have a few questions, you know, about that as well. But again, you know, we're getting out there. We're starting to recognize our voice as a voting bloc, and that is fantastic.
And I must say something real quick. I must interject real quick, if you don't mind, real quick. Free Thinking Lady is saying it is vitally important that we still oppose these people. And I wasn't saying we don't oppose them. I'm just saying the vast majority of people seem to be looking at this as a joke. And it is almost a joke. It's ridiculous. However, with that being said, we should still vehemently fight against their claims and make sure that the public understands that some of the claims they make are ridiculous. And we definitely should keep that information flowing out there and don't stop. Because you're right. You know, we get too relaxed and we think that, you know, yeah, they're clowns, but these clowns could still end up winning. You know, and
exactly.
They would be screwed. So I just want to make sure Free Thinking Lady understands. I agree with you totally on that, and I wasn't really talking about just take the whole election as a big joke and don't care. And that definitely was not my intention.
Right, because there's a lot of political weight that's being tossed around back with corporate dollar that's swaying the votes and swaying opinions. Yeah, you mentioned polls that are out there that are definitely what it's intended on doing, with polarizing the society that's out there viewing this and watching this shenanigans out there on TV. So I've written a lot about this on my blog too, evilforalltime.com, and definitely wanted to get your guys' opinion on this basis as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you for
calling. Yes, thank you for calling in, and I'll place you back on hold here. And, again, you know, listen in. We will have the National Atheist Party, one of their representatives, on the show, and you will be able to speak with them directly, and that's absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller from the 904 area code. 904, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hello, this is Dr. Bev, everybody.
What? Thank you, Free Thinkers, for having me on board.
Hello,
yes,
Dr.
Ma'am.
Bev.
Yes, so this is Reggie, Dr. Bev, and, you know, again, you know, earlier we were talking about the stages of grief, and Dr. Bev, her show Emotions Are Us, she tries to explain to people how their emotions, in many cases, in most cases, it controls and directs decisions that they make. And you, so, Dr. Bev, if you want to talk a little bit about the 8 stages of grief, that would be fantastic.
Well, I would love to address that, but I'd like to address something that your guest brought up earlier, and I so am with him on this. And this was involving politics and religion. And in the chat room, someone mentioned Al Gore. Look how he slipped up. Remember when we thought he was going to be the real deal? He was the it man. But that moment was quickly resolved. And so I never have ever taken for granted what goes on in that political arena and how the dots are connected to the church and then connect those dots back to politics. if you've noticed since, you know, God was a boy, that's a joke, they have gone straight, especially in people of color community, to the church. They lobbied. They even have us now on the TBN channel or whatever that is, lobbying for them. And church and state should be separate. Dr. Bev is not going to be truly satisfied until churches begin to pay taxes.
That's right.
That's number one. I just had to get that off. Okay? We could save a whole lot of people. People would have shelter, food to eat. Let the mega churches start paying taxes.
Exactly. And Mario has something to say. Mario?
I just think it's funny that, you know, you say that you out of three other people on your side, you know what I'm saying, who are in a competition for the top seat with someone else, you know what I'm saying, for the presidency, and you say God is on your side, if you still have to be nominated, campaign, and hopefully they volunteer you to be the front runner, and you might win depending on the votes you get. Whenever I see people saying that God is on their side, I'm thinking, well, you know, if you think that the most powerful being in the universe is on your side, you think that that would give you a leg up on the situation, but apparently it doesn't.
No,
but,
and I agree with Mario, if I may, you are definitely right. To believe that story, that system of thought is going to lead them as it has down a rabbit hole. But guess what? They have a whole lot of believers who don't read. They only listen to and hear what comes out of that church. And these mega churches have mega members who don't think. Kim, you had a comedian on at one point. He called them one book, you know what. And right now what I'm seeing is zero books. They read zero books. They just listen, and whatever that pastor vomits out, whatever political player comes to their church, pat a few on heads, and do that little rub-down thing, I'm not going to go there, then, you know, that's who gets the vote. No matter how Teflon looking, no matter how many secrets they have in their closets, Mormons, please call this show so we can really talk, okay? Okay. I'm going to leave it right there and get back to your question at hand about the stages of grief and why I think that that's so important. Because I do believe, I truly, truly believe as a free thinker, there is going to be a time when people look at this, I call it the cartoonishness that we see on these news channels and newspapers and folks who try to make lies into truth, lies, L-I-E-S, into truth, a fact. Yes, I am so with your guests. Keep calling them out. Keep calling them out. I will continue pushing up your feeds on my Facebook page, whatever you have, to support you in that method of thought. Because I do believe, for example, and I'll use Eddie Long's church as one example. At some point, okay, and that does bring in that homosexuality in there, right? Yeah, I'll get to that later. But at some point, there's going to be a mass exodus from that church when truth, because I believe truth will win out. He will be shown as the emperor who is wearing and has not been wearing any clothes. People... Maslow's hierarchy of theory says that the third need we all have, emotions are us, is to be socialized. That's their social media. The church has been their social embrace, their social family. And that's why they can believe this, you know, okay, well, I'm going to try to just keep it thin here. So, yes, there will be a mass exodus, and they will need some help. They will need some place to go. They will need some emotional and mental health services. They will need free black thinkers like in Chicago who are getting ready. You already have it in your plan. Put these services out here because these people are going to need them. They are going to be broke and freaking homeless because they done tied all their money to the church. And no telling how many of them have signed over their insurance papers, their houses. This thing is, boy, if they want to talk about God and the devil, this is devil incarnate. I'm going to leave it like that, and why we really want to be sharp on these 8 stages of grief, because they are going to go through anger. They are going to feel sadness and depression, and it's going to take a long, long time before they get to that last stage of feeling hopelessness. So, yes, three black people, get your SHIT in order.
Right.
Start making some business out here. Start all this talking and put it into action.
So, Dr. Ben, I must ask you a question. So it sounds like what you're saying, based on the stages that you've mentioned, it sounds like then religious society kind of really keeps you in a state of grief all the time.
Yeah, it keeps you insane. I was trying not to go there, but thank you for bringing it up, and I thank you for calling that white elephant out of the room. Yes, insanity is real, people.
And to answer, Ralph's question, religion keeps you in a state of arrested development. That is their purpose.
Yes,
that's true.
It keeps you in a state of pretending, like you guessed it. It keeps them in a state of pretending that all is going to be well. Something way, way outside of them is going to save them in the end. If not, it's going to be Armageddon.
It's their fault.
And
they also blame themselves too. When it doesn't work out, they blame themselves. It's like it's never God's fault.
The guilt and the shame comes in. That's where your guilt, that's where your shame comes in, and then that's where that grieving is going to come in, especially when people find out. I'm going to use Eddie Long as, again, another example, because he's one of the ones that I've done the most research on. If you look at any of my blogs or listen to me, he has put himself out there to be such the king. When these people understand that their social circle is a myth, It's a story. They're going to get angry like not one. They're going to start pulling themselves out of the church. Another example I'll give you is this pastor who's in Florida. He's a sexual predator. Noted. He is on the books, sexual predator. This huge mega church. And here's where Dr. Bev's go, cat. Now, I thought there was insanity in the world, but now I really, really, really know. Yes, there are insane people who don't know they're insane. They are not diagnosed, and they hold very prevalent positions in the church. In this Florida church, this man who is labeled a sexual predator cannot be in X number of feet of children. Do you know they're going to let him preach in the pulpit and remove all of the children from the church? People, work with me on that.
And you know what, Dr. Bev, this is very common in the black community. As you know, this is very common. There was a research study done by Morehouse in which they were talking about, this very issue about it maybe 8 years ago. And the black community, we don't want to admit that we can have mental illnesses. And parents of children especially, we don't want to admit that there can be mental illnesses in the black community. And so we tend to the church actually fosters that kind of mentality. We see mentally ill people in church all the time, and in the church they're blessed. They're like, oh, he's on with God right now. No, he's having a temporal lobe seizure. Get this man to the hospital. But we don't do that. And it's like, black people don't get mentally. That's a white people thing. White people, they're the ones with the mental problems. We're all good. And I'm sorry, I see them every day when I'm driving down the street, and they're not getting help. They're not getting medication. They're not getting taken care of, because the belief in our community is that we don't need those things.
But see, check it out. Here's the list.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, here's the lick. They some of them believe that we don't need to go and get the help for the mental health care again, recovering from religion people, recoveringfromreligion.org. But some of them used to believe that. Some of them still believe that. But the ones that experienced it firsthand, whether it was, them themselves or someone in their families or someone close to them, they've created an industry. If you notice, you have these life coaches, you have these Christian counseling services and all of that, they recognize that there truly is a real need for that. So they created an entire industry. Again, it's all about the money. And they want you to go to their personal counselors, to the people that they have, as opposed to going to see a real psychiatrist or a psychologist, because if you go and see someone that's truly credentialed and qualified, then that may factor you right out of the church. Maybe you'll snap into reality and see life for what it really is, but they don't want you to do that. They want you to go to their own people.
Pray. Just pray about it. Just pray about it. God will heal it. You know, it's just, you know, just something wrong that God can fix. We'll just pray and you'll get better. And, wow.
You know, the more I encounter some people, and I try to really be cool with a lot of people. Most of the times, there are a lot of believers who I encounter who are just some of the coolest people I've ever met, and I have nothing bad to say against them. But occasionally, I do run into that super fundy, and I skip around Facebook, and I'm looking at different pages like Jesus and God and stuff like that, and then God, what God tells me today and everything, as though God has a Facebook page. I don't understand why God would have a Facebook page and why you are not using your own intellect to say, huh, I pray to him every day, why the fuck would he have a Facebook page? And so
Exactly. You're
dealing with people who have, these people run businesses. These people work at businesses. These people are managers and other stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Their minds do think. But when it comes to this one thing right here, it's all of a sudden thinking just stops, and I'm just going to accept everything I've heard and everything I've read, the select things I've read, and accept it at face value, never challenge it, never question it, never ask, okay, if the Bible said, if God said that the Israelites were his chosen people, that means forget everybody else. These are my homies right here. I'm looking at,
right.
I'm mm-hmm. reading different scriptures in the Bible. I mean, I've even sat here and read about the different demons, you know, the different demons, their names, their purpose, and their different, what they're supposed to do. And stuff like that. And I'll sit there and I'll think about something. Why does Yuval or Jemery, why is he the leader of 26 demon legions? Why the hell do you have an army when a war hasn't even been fought yet? You know what I'm saying? I don't understand. Why would you have warrior angels to bar people out of a garden? You know what I'm saying? It's a garden that's surrounded by trees. It's not a fence. You can go in through the back. You know what I'm saying? Why do you have warrior angel? You just kicked the guy out of heaven. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have an army yet. Yet you already have warrior angels. That's because the people thought that would be a good idea. And nobody
right.
thinks about that. You know what I'm saying? It's just Cain runs off and marries a woman that didn't exist. And if you look at the lineage from the Bible, apparently,
mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve only gave birth to men. So, it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not even a Bible expert, and I can figure this shit out.
Oh, too funny. We have a caller. We have a caller from 240. May we ask who's calling?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, Nick. Yes.
Yes, my name is Madhu.
Hi, Madhu.
I feel like I'm talking to family. I feel like I've been lost out in the wilderness for quite a while, for about 50 years or more. I think that one problem with rounding us up and finding out who's out here has been technology, because had it not been for this technology, I wouldn't be here now, because I've been out here for over 50 years, and I thought I was out here by myself also. And it was very difficult to find people, intelligent people, to communicate with and ask questions.
Right.
I've been asking questions since I was, a child. My folks wouldn't give me any answers. They just told me to stop asking questions and start believing. And I said, well, this doesn't make any sense. And it hasn't made any sense. And, you know, being in the black community, you just have to kind of go along in order to survive, because you are ostracized and you can't really express how you feel, because you may not eat if you're a child.
That's right.
So I mean, there are some good reasons why you don't find people out here raising their hand saying, hey, I understand what you're talking about, because it is vicious. And I know, because, like I say, I've been out here over 50 years asking questions, and I was taught from an early age, if you ask another question, you're going to have a problem. And that's
right.
At home. Yep.
You get popped in the mouth, and God's going to do something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the reason that I've decided to not remain silent is because when I started listening at other people out here, you know, I've been visiting all the websites and listening to everybody, all you guys, and I just didn't know the pain that so many other people have been going through. So I just felt like it's time for me, you know, not to remain silent and become active and involved. And I started buying the books, you know, and everything, and I just don't want to, you know, remain silent anymore.
Good. You don't have to. Welcome to the fold, brother.
Exactly. I'm so excited for you. You know, you and the other people who are starting to come forth and express yourself and share with other people, and even those who aren't, you know, able to share their non-belief others right now, just know that you have the rest of us here, and we're here to support you. And we, you know, if you need any of us, you know, you can reach out. My email address is blackfreethinkers@gmail.com, and I can connect you with someone in your area. And I'm sure, you know, Reginald Finley, you can find him on Facebook. His website is infidelguy.com, and, you know, you have Dr. Bev. You know, Emotions Are Us, you can find her. And, you know, we have Mario here, you know, several other people. Just reach out to us, and we definitely will reach back. We definitely will reach back. You're not alone.
Sounds good.
What I saw, and I saw that when I was at the Reason Rally, and we talk a lot of things about black community and whatnot, and we have our niches and everything, that because we feel like, you know, it helps other black people come out into when they see other black people who are actively working in this. When I was at the Reason Rally and seeing that amount of people of different beliefs, I mean, of different races, sexes, sexual orientations, all in one place and having a good time, that right there made me feel like this is really a community here, man. This is really, we have our different factions within the community. But when we all come together, there's no problem. You know what I'm saying? Unless you have lunatics like the guy who shall remain nameless. But other than that, I really feel like I actually have made a lot more true friends when I finally came out of and admitted that I was an atheist.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, in our community, people have ways of trying to scope you out, try to find out where your head is. And, you know, another thing that I thought about was that I used to wonder, you know, why people would always lose my phone number. And it never occurred to me that, you know, people were really critiquing my belief system, because black folk would constantly ask you, what church are you in? And if you don't have a ready answer, they start coming up with ideas that maybe you don't go to church, maybe you don't believe in this stuff. And even on these job sites, you have people that are getting together in the morning and having these prayer meetings. And if you don't attend, you know, they kind of look and say, this one, it doesn't come.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
so they do stuff to orchestrate and ostracize you at work and get together and plot stuff behind you. Because you're not in these little groups,
right? I went to an elementary school with my friend. Her daughter was doing a jump rope demonstration, and they prayed before that. And I'm thinking, what are we going to war here? It's just kids jumping rope. I mean, why do we need to pray before that?
And you know, whenever somebody challenges me on that, if I'm ever with a function and somebody inquires how come I didn't pray, I always say, well, I don't think God is so dumb that he doesn't know what I'm thinking. So, of course, I'm playing with him. So, but I'm like, he surely has to know. Everybody really needs to get together in a huddle so God can hear them. What kind of crap is that? It's like, but it makes sense when you think of it from the ancient context, when prayers were allowed, when they were very loud and boisterous and among huge fires and meat burning, because they were trying to yell to God in the sky. That is why people still form, that's why they form prayer groups, because they think God somehow can't hear them. You know,
exactly.
But now we should know better. In modern theology, he can hear your thoughts. I don't understand how banding together is supposed to make God even more knowledgeable of the fact that the Dodgers should win. I mean, it's silly. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking at people say such and such is in the hospital, such and such is hurt. Y'all pray for them or me or something like that. And I see prayers going up, prayers going up, prayers going up. And I'm thinking, does the amount of healing this kid gets, is that in proportion to how many people say they're going to pray? I mean, it's, you know, because it seemed like if this kid was really hurt, it wouldn't take 15 people saying they're going to pray to heal him if God truly cared. I mean, if you're asking me to evaluate this on a logical standpoint, you care for your child. You ask your God, who you love, and you say he loves you back, ask him to help your child. That should be that should be all it takes. Instead of you having to ask 15 other people to pray along with you for this single child who is in the hospital attended by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
But you know why they do it. And the reason why they pray, I think, is interesting. I'm sorry, Kim, I'll let you go after that. But it's so funny. The reason why they pray is so crazy because they say that, they really believe prayer changes things. Although the evidence is right in front of them that it doesn't, but they still keep saying this. What it really is prayer is nothing more than a way of trying to pretend you're doing something when you know that you're not doing anything.
Right.
Exactly.
That's all it really is. Like, make them feel better about themselves. Like, instead of sending them money, sending them some clothes, sending them something, I'll be praying for you. Right. In other words, I'm not going to do shit.
Exactly. Exactly. And to take that up another notch, if this particular God loves you that much, why did he allow your child to get sick or hurt in the first place?
Right.
Yep.
Why did he not protect your child? I would have more respect for them if they just said outright, look, my child was in an accident. You know, the baby's in a hospital. I need some emotional support and, you know, maybe some financial support. And can someone please come help me? You know, I don't have a vehicle. Can you take me to the hospital? Bring me back so I can make sure I'm here with my child because I'm afraid, but I have to be strong for my child. I will respect that. And I will help you if you just if you're just
That's,
honest.
Mm-hmm. But it's God's will, huh? What? it's just ridiculous. But I'm going to pray against God's will. Huh? Yeah. None of it makes sense.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have another caller from the 240. But
right.
No, I agree with you, but we have another call. I just wanted to bring the other call on. 240. May we ask a call?
Hi, my name is Inyana Wee. I've been listening, and this really is an interesting discussion. Been listening less than a month, and it's really causing me to look at my own thinking. I haven't had a membership in a church for over 20 years, and before I started even listening to you, I was questioning things, but in a silent way. I wasn't, didn't express it to anyone. And one thing that I did notice that I began to feel freer, even though I wasn't even just by not participating in the church and going by all these rules and things that the church says. I did feel some fear in certain areas, though. And, again, those were what the church teaches you. And I would say, well, what's going to happen to me if so-and-so happened and, if there's an illness or things like that? And whereas the church tells you to reach out for God and pray and all of this. So that's basically, I just wanted to make that small comment. I'm listening and learning. And one more thing is that I was listening to the previous caller. I had a friend, I say had, because I haven't really talked to him in a while, because I asked them, they were telling me that prayer helps. Because I have a condition, and they were saying prayer helps. And I said, well, has it answered anything for you? And I wasn't really thinking about I was just asking. And I think, and I thought about it later, I was like, oh, I really was questioning, was she getting any answers? And she said, yeah, of course. But I still, you know, I questioned her truth about that because I know some things that she's doing outside of the church to get answers for herself. So I just wanted to say that.
Yes, ma'am. And again, we welcome you. And just again, you can reach out to any of us. And if you have any questions, any of us will be more than happy to answer them. And if we can't, we will direct you to someone who can. But again, you know, it's getting better, and you're definitely not alone. And so definitely, you know, my heart goes out to you, and I just, you know, commend you for, you know, thinking for yourself.
Courage.
And living your
courage.
Life for yourself.
Yeah,
and keep up
courage.
Work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, as I was trying to say in the background, and having the courage, because just taking that first step of critical, you know, recognition and critical inquiry and saying, you know, something's not quite right with this, and actually having the courage to address that, that's a big step. I think many of us have been there where, and it's like, but the questions don't stop. It's almost like you open up a tap and it just doesn't stop flowing. You try to stop it, but it's still there. And it's like, and then it gets, you like it. All of a sudden you start liking the sounds of it, and you start liking the flow, and you want more, and you want to learn more. And so, yeah, I'm really glad to hear that, you know, we have some listeners tonight who are changing their minds about things. So.
Yes, and to be a part of that, to be instrumental in helping others, because, again, you know, Reggie, you were instrumental in helping me. So that's why, you know, I had to thank you, and I still thank you for being there, because I remember seeing you on White Swap, and I heard the word atheist, so, of course, that get my attention, and then I saw you, and I'm like, I think I see black people.
I see black people.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I guess my question to you regarding that show, you know, I'm just going to deviate a little bit. Did you have more people coming to you, more people, minorities, coming up to you and asking you questions after you did the show?
You know, to my surprise, that show did not really grant me any significant more popularity. I mean, I really thought that, I mean, when the show aired, I thought they were going to be, I don't want to say honest, but I was hoping that, originally I thought that the show was going to at least air things a little bit more true to form. And so I was hopeful at that point that perhaps my radio program would be elevated to a whole new level. And all I got, for the most part, well, I should say for the most part, half and half, I've received quite a bit of ridicule, you know. And the only reason why I did it is because I've a lot of my members, actually, they knew about me already. They contacted me first. And then I put a poll out for my listeners. I'm hearing a lot of background noise, by the way. Is that somebody else on the phone?
Can you all turn your radio down? Or whatever that's happening in the background, can you?
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah.
But I lost my thought now. But yeah, so I expected a lot more, you know, positive stuff out of it. But unfortunately, I got some negative stuff. And people are still approaching me all the time. I had a guy. This is no lie. I had a guy approaching me 2 days at IHOP. I'm outside with my friend, and we're about to. He's about to go his way. I'm about to go mine. And this guy comes out of IHOP and he says, "Hey, weren't you on White Swap?" You know, and I'm like, oh, boy, yeah. He goes, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, great. You know, I used to be an atheist. Oh, I can't stand when people tell me that. It's like, so? He's like, you know, yeah, but were you a philosopher? Were you a critical thinker? Did you have a scientific mindset? And so I asked him, so why did you change your mind? You're an atheist, but you're now a Christian. Why? Oh, well, because of he said the Christian apologetic material that I've been reading. And right away,
oh, wow.
We just named them all. We knew exactly who he was reading. We just started naming them. He's like, well, right. I was like, are you serious? And I was like, these people convinced, yeah, William Lane Craig, Lee Strobel, and, I mean, these are the people that convinced you that, you know, that Christianity was true. Wow. But I get people inquiring about that all the time. Black people, I usually don't get as much positive stuff from them at all. I mean, because I'm a traitor to them. I've been told that to my face, that I am a traitor to the black race. because religion is what brought us, you know, up and out, which is, of course, backwards. But, you know, they claim that, you know, if it wasn't for religion, we wouldn't be where we are today. And they're right.
But, exactly.
But, yeah. And so, you know, now and again, I'll have somebody say, hey, man, hey, that was you on TV? Man, you cried? Man, what's wrong with you? You know, I get that now and again from some of the young punks, you know, who saw the show. You know, but, you know, overall, though, hey, I did it. It was an experience. I don't regret very much in life. I've learned from it, and now I know to stick to just documentaries. So,
Exactly. And, I mean, you did show your sensitive side, and there was nothing wrong with that, and that's one of the issues that need to be addressed in our community. We all have emotions, and many people don't know how to identify those emotions. So, you know, and that's one of the mechanisms that they use in order to keep people, again, in a sense of arrested development, is because it's the warped sense of thinking. And we have to go in and encourage them to change that thinking, which is why we have to take our time and explain things to them and explain it in a way that they will understand. So we can't necessarily come from, you know, the perspective of an academician, if you will. We have to put it in everyday terms so that people can understand it and use examples that they can relate to. It's very important that we're able to take this information and convert it in a way that the average, everyday, common person can understand what we're saying. So, you know, it's taken some work on our end as well, but we've come a long way. Like I said, these numbers are jumping. I'm talking about the percentage of people considering themselves as non-believers, free thinkers, what have you. And, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, you still would have been hard-pressed to find, you know, multiple numbers of us. But look now, I'm just absolutely amazed. You have these groups popping up all over the place. You got black non-believers down there in Atlanta. You got black non-believers in Metro Orlando. You have black free thinkers in Kansas City, black skeptics in L.A. You got CFI AAH in D.C., another group, another AAH group in Baltimore. You have one in Detroit. You have, you know, these groups all over the place. We got one here in Chicago as well. And they're popping up. And it's just, it's amazing. You know, it's like someone has, you know, how can I say, turned the light bulb on. We're starting to wake up, and that's fantastic. And that's another reason why I say, you know, the free thought community, we're in our infancy, and that's the reason why I'm encouraging people to get out there and, you know, again, start nonprofits and to get out there and start offering these services because, again, we have to become entrenched in the community. We have to be able to offer the people in the community something. So that's why I say we need to be visible, we need to put a face to it. And it's getting better. And, again, it's in its infancy. We have room to grow. There's always room for growth, and I'm just really excited about our future.
Yeah, you know, there's some drawbacks, unfortunately, as well as bringing people out of the fold too quickly. And this isn't really talked about very much, although I think we can all see the potential, the negative potential of this. Unfortunately, and I predicted this years ago, you know, before these other folks acted like idiots, but I predicted this many years ago that remember, Christians are afraid that, you know, if you strip them of the religion, there's no foundation that they have anymore. The control mechanism, you know, the floodgates are now open. They think they can do whatever they want to. This is their argument. Now, most humans wouldn't do that, even if they did lose their faith. However, there are some who really, that's all they had as a control mechanism for them is some authoritarian, you know, individual dictating to them what's morally right and what's morally wrong. There are people who are losing their faith. And there are many of them, but this is the dark aspect of thing we need to talk about. When there is not a foundation of critical thinking, you know, when there isn't a foundation of rational thought, caring in their communities, and it can potentially backfire. And I keep running into people who are very, very immoral. They're non-believers. They're just recently non-believers. They're very angry and militant. And they should be angry.
Yeah.
I understand that. But they are just not doing or behaving in a way that I think is conducive, again, to our movement, to the things that can help really have people respect what we're doing. And that's pretty scary, and that's what I'm trying to do in my new field that I'm getting involved in, which is the public understanding of science. That new field is all about trying to inculcate children, you know, with the necessary foundation of critical thinking skills and reason and science so that they learn to question themselves and question their actions and what they're doing, and not have just become accustomed to just the religious dogma telling them what to do and what they think is right or wrong. Because not to mention, we know that most of them do what the heck they want to do anyway. However, it's really good if you had someone that, if you had a foundation that can allow you to evaluate and reevaluate your own thoughts and actions. And I think critical thinking does that, not so much as religion, because they're too busy looking, you know, there's an invisible God that apparently doesn't do anything. So, you know, but if you can, if you have those self-reflective critical thinking skills, and I think that that's more important than anything else, and we're lacking a lot of that in our public schools.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, we should be encouraging these kids to blossom and open up like a flower and ask questions as opposed to trying to stifle their critical thinking. So, yeah, definitely, you know, when we have to, how can I put it, we have to encourage that, you know, in the children as well as the adults, but especially the children, because, you know, one day they will be adults, and we want them to be able to think and think on their feet and to think quickly. And, you know, going back to something that you said earlier about someone had said to you, if it had not been for Christianity, where would we be? And what they don't realize is that when our ancestors were first brought to this country, they were promised their freedom if they converted to Christianity. And once they had too many people, too many of the slaves converting to Christianity, they changed that. And then it went on, and they had people, they were telling them that if they fought in a Revolutionary War and a different wars and converted to Christianity, they would be granted their freedom then. And, you know, I'm just using those as an example. But I believe that the fear is so deeply ingrained, indoctrinated in us, that many of us feel that if we do not declare ourselves as Christians, that we will be put back in bondage. And, you know, it's a very irrational fear. It's a very irrational fear. But that's just my little theory there. You know, I don't have anything scientific backing me up on that. But, you know, I've been called a race traitor. I've been called all of the same names, Reggie, and again, you know, I was called that before I even declared myself a non-believer. I was called that other reasons in the past. But the thing is that the same people who demonize or vilify us, if you will, many of those same people wish they had the opportunities that we had, wish they had the courage that we have to stand up and be who and what we are, because in Christianity, they want you to be a clone. They want you to be a drone. They want people to follow all the same rules, to act all the same way. So when you have someone who does not conform or refuses to conform, we're a threat.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I guess I have to respect some of the believers who have sort of, they backed away from, I don't know if they ever were serious hardcore believers or whatever, but some of them really have let go of a lot of the extra baggage of it. They still believe in God, but they don't go to church. They don't even read the Bible. I would ask the question, why not? But I'm like, if that's as good as it's going to get, I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, because some of them seem like they're really agnostic without actually saying, I've let go of the religion. You know, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm mostly deal with people. If you're good people, I want to be cool with you. I don't care who you are. You know what I'm saying? But I really do think that religion, the institution of religion, is more of the problem. If a person believes in God, I can't really argue with that. But the institution of religion is what produces so many zombies and people who will, you know, see no problem with beating their child because they think they're demons in their body. Or they'll, you know, saying, form entire religious sects that are hell-bent on bringing their religion to the world. And if you question their religion, if you even, in Middle East, if you even question Islam or say anything negative about Muhammad, you could be killed. I mean, that is what the institution of religion does, is it makes people into monsters they probably otherwise wouldn't have been. But, you know, just the way the things are over there.
Exactly. And I agree with you. And one of the issues, and again, my own theory, this is just from personal experience and personal observation, is with some people in the religious community, not everyone, because I will be the first one to admit that I know some of the most beautiful people who call themselves Christians, just absolutely kind and compassionate. You have them, you know, so, you know, we're not necessarily, you know, pointing at the entire group. We're talking more so about the doctrine and the dogma, not necessarily the individuals, mm-hmm. even though there are some individuals that need to be called to the carpet. However, going back to, you know, my little personal theory here, basically with some of the things that I've seen in the Christian community, I've seen some people commit some of the most horrific acts, and then mm-hmm. they would turn around and tell you that you have to forgive them, and God forgave them, so who are you not to forgive them? And then the preacher and the other church members, you know, agree with them and say, well, you have to forgive them. Well, as far as I'm concerned, some of these people go out and commit the same, you know, horrific crimes or what have you over and over and over because they know that people will have to forgive them and they'll get a pass, if you will. To me, that's setting up and fostering an environment of, you know, pathological and sociopathic behavior. What do we do? It needs to be addressed.
Wow. Yeah, we're just so used to it. I want to say something real quick and bring. I guess it's gonna be. I want to maybe create a little damper on your day here. Earlier, you mentioned the stats about the non-religious population, according to the recent, was it a Pew poll? Pew Research mm-hmm. showing that non-believers are increasing. Well, again, unfortunately, it goes back to what I mentioned before. There are a lot of people claiming to be non-religious when they really are. So it's hard to be sure. Especially, like I said, a lot of Christians now saying they're non-religious. And if they were polled and asked the question directly, so are you religious or not religious? Even Christians, many Christians are now beginning to say, I'm non-religious. So it's really hard to say, you know, unless the poll says, you know, but no, even if the option is for Christian, I've seen this as well, again, even if the option is for Christian or Christian other, if the option is for non-religion, they will still choose non-religious. It is a strange thing that's going on, and it's screwing up the polls. So it's really hard to say. I think it should be, do you believe in certain gods or do you not? I mean, that's really about it, and that would give us more an accurate number.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And, you know, from my personal experience, I was one of those people, and it helped me transition out. So that's the reason why when people start going through the motions and start saying, well, I'm spiritual and not religious, or they mm-hmm. have some new type of doctrine, you know, I believe I start looking at them, I'm like, yeah, you're slowly on your way of transitioning out. And that's the mm-hmm. reason why, again, going back to something that you said earlier, we need to address some issues within the free thought community, especially. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we need certain people. We need some people to come in and kind of be hard-nosed about certain things. I understand that, and I respect that. But, again, there are times when you have to kind of lay that down to the side. Because in many cases, these people just don't know. And I hate to re-victimize them, if you will.
I understand.
Yeah, by going in and, you know, chastising them for something that they not know.
Can't control.
So that's what we have to show that compassion. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was clearing my throat. But yes, I mean, I agree with you totally. I mean, this... you know, it's kind of thinking back to, by the way, I know that the program, we're going to talk about some free thought history, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit, but I want to make sure that I defer to Norm Allen Jr. if you want to talk about black free thought history. In fact, I have a few shows in my archive that I'm motivated now because of this program to kind of re-release and put them up on my Facebook page for people to listen to.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am reminded of the early church, and at one point the church, they were in place, as you mentioned before, because of survival mechanism, you know, and being in the church was the only place where slaves would even seem human. You know, it was a place where, in many cases, the masses allowed us to congregate and left us alone for the most part. At the same time, this was the only place where we could actually learn to read and write, too, you know, under the cover
exactly.
of darkness. And so it served its purpose, I think, at one point. And I always try to make sure I tell people, you know, it's not like blacks created the church. I mean, the church, you know, was built around us and thrown onto us. And I think that we adapted it the best way we could back then for our own survival needs. However, today, We no longer need it. You know, we just don't need it. And it has become a horrendous mechanism for just taking advantage of people, lying to people. It should be so obvious, and I don't even know why. I've always asked some of my religious peers, and it's like, if I can understand if you want to be religious and believe in a God, but why do you choose a church? I mean, you know, like,
right.
It's ridiculous, you know, and sometimes they see it clearly, and they go, oh, yeah, you know. But that's as far back as history as I want to go on it, but if other callers want to call and talk a little bit more about it, they can feel free to do so. But Norm does such a much more eloquent job than I do. I would want to do a disservice to Black Free Thought history. Because that is Norm Allen's stuff.
Exactly. He was on the show a few weeks ago, and, you know, was excited. He was wonderful, and, you know, we talked about, you know, a variety of different, you know, topics. And Norm, you know, Norm is the guy, you know, Norm was the light bearer for many of us, if you will. And he was talking about how, you know, 20 years ago it was just him by himself. And he said, you know, looking at the environment now and looking at our community growing, he said he has never been so happy to be wrong. And so, you know, that kind of just made me feel warm and made me feel happy, you know, because Norm is such a great guy. And, you know, he's thrilled at the progress that we're making and just the forecasting and the projection for our community. It's growing. So, you know, if people want to say they're spiritual and not religious, you know, we go ahead and we let them have that, because at least it shows that they're thinking a little bit.
You got it. I agree totally. You are so right. I'm right with you on that. You're right. I look at that as progression too. You know,
exactly.
And it's inevitable. I mean, if we look at you know, the whole cast of things from an, I guess you can say, a rather you know, inductive argument here, you know, that, you know, all throughout history, naturalistic explanations have always replaced supernatural ones, and we continue to see that happening over and over again. We see gods created, gods destroyed, over and over again. There's no reason to think that these gods that exist today will still persist in another 1,000 years, especially at the rate of information exchange we have, you know, the more science we have. And it does appear, if the polls are correct, we are beginning to lean more and more to a more secular world. You know, so I'm hopeful. Might happen in my lifetime, you know, and some of the younger listeners and even their children and great-grandchildren. But if we don't kill ourselves, I think there is some solace there that we will eventually evolve into a more secular society, a more scientifically literate society. And I might be hoping for too much, but again, if we look at history, we're going to have a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, but it will happen. And if the efforts of people like everybody listening tonight, you know, in your show and Norm Allen, and I don't like to talk myself up that much, but, you know, but everybody involved doing things, these are the movements that's going to help spearhead us into that future.
Exactly. And that's the reason why groups like, you know, Black Atheists of America, Ayanna Watson's group, and her Science Cube program is important for programs like that, along with Mark Hatcher and his Secular Student Alliance group at Howard University. And, you know, they're getting ready to put together some YouTube packages to, you know, gear toward youth, which is absolutely wonderful. I'm working on a project, you know, in the same similar respect there. And it's just absolutely fantastic, and we need to move forth. And I just want to encourage you and everyone else and let you all know that you're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up. Keep moving forward, because we're making an impact. We're making an impact. Slowly but surely. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I see Frank Anderson in the chat room. Thank you very much. You're very welcome, Frank. I remember you. I think you were a gold member at one point. Some people listening here still may be gold members. Even though I haven't done a show in 2 years, I actually still have quite a number of people who are still subscribers. They're waiting for me to come back, and they're still supporting me from the sidelines, and they still appreciate the efforts that, you know, that I've done that they say change their lives, and so they still give, even though I'm not able to really continue to do the live programming that I used to. But again, it's like 500 downloads, so maybe they didn't listen to them all yet. But I really appreciate this. All you guys out there listening who still support the show, believe me, I am so appreciative. You know, every time I see the payment come in, I go, wow, thank you so much. So I appreciate
it. Exactly. And like I said, you know, we are waiting for you to return, because I remember, I believe you have a Ustream channel. And, you know, I check it periodically. When is Reggie coming back? So, you know, I'm one of your friends on Ustream as well. Because, again, like I said, we miss you. You know, we truly do miss you. And you've had some phenomenal people on your show. And your show was groundbreaking. And I see nothing but greatness coming from you again. And, you know, we just want to encourage you to, you know, come on back and let you know you're loved and you're missed and you're supported. We're here. And, you know, and just let us know what we can do to assist you in any of your endeavors because, you know, it's, we're one big family and we want to see everyone succeed. We want to see everyone, you know, basically walk the road that they feel that they need to go on. Everybody has a different thing. I have a show here and some other things that I have in the background that I'm working on. You have your show, your education, your book, and I plan on going back to school in the next couple of years as well. And, you know, that's for anybody. You know, we encourage everybody to go back out and pick up your dreams. And, again, you're not alone. And, you know, we can talk a little bit about free thought history because, again, people are under the misconception that, you know, non-believers or black non-believers or minority non-believers, that this is something new. This is not anything new. W.E.B. Du Bois, you have Bayard Rustin, you got Ace, you know, Asa Philip Randolph, you got Mr. Anderson, Hubert Harrison. Now, that was my guy, one of my personal favorites, that guy. He was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they've been there, and we have plenty more sitting on the sidelines now. You know, Alice Walker, you know, she's a free thinker as well. So, I mean, I just encourage people to go out there and read, you know, read the history. And, you know, we have to do better about getting some of this information out there, but we're making progress.
You know, and the funny part about that is that a lot of the information is right at their fingertips. They hold a Bible every Sunday at least, or at least a few times a week. You know what I'm saying? They can read the Bible. They can read Numbers. You know what I'm saying? I was reading about how God was actually talking about sacrificing some people to him, you know, setting the Levites on fire or something like that. You know, I tell you this, though. When I went to the Natural History Museum, to me, that's one of the most direct ways that proves that all this is BS, and no one ever really thinks about how important their message is. You know what I'm saying? You go in there, and you're looking at the skeleton of Australopithecus or some other hominid that existed millions of years before Adam and Eve was even thought about. And you're looking at this, and it's the actual fossil right there. It's not a not a duplication. It's this actual fossil. This thing is
well, but you know, unfortunately, the reason why they don't believe in fossils, and it's very intuitive for them, and it's pretty scary at the same time for us. But their whole thing is they don't believe in forensic science. I mean, these are the same people who are like, you know, if I can't see it, it's so kind of hypocritical because they're like, say, well, were you there? So in their mind, you know, they don't understand how forensic science works. You know, so they're thinking, oh, well, since you weren't there, therefore you can't prove it really happened, even though we have all this evidence. But I just want to throw that in there. For them, it's all about they think somebody had to actually be there, even though, of course, they know that no one was alive today either that was there in the past to see Jesus walk on water. But, you know, this is what I've heard over and over and over again. It's a really horrible argument, but it is what it is.
We have a couple of callers here. We have someone from area code 206. May we ask who's calling?
Oh, this is Ron. Hello,
Miles,
hey, Ron.
Hi.
First of all, I want to just congratulate Reginald on going back to school and getting his degree. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Thank you.
Secondly, I want to touch on something that you guys touched on earlier concerning how religious African Americans are. What we have to understand, and it touches on the host, something that the host said, that what we have to understand and what we have to do is we have to be patient with our people.
Right.
African Americans have been so imbued with Christianity, it is a very difficult thing for us to break from. There are those of us who are lucky and who have saw the light at the end of the tunnel, right? And were able to break away. But we must have patience with our people. We gotta look at the 400 and some odd years that we were imbued with Christianity and indoctrinated into it with slavery. That caused a cultural trauma on our people. So what we have to do is we have to be patient with our people. We can't just snatch things away from under them and think that they just want to see things our way. Secondly, what I want to say is that in accordance with that patience, I noticed on Facebook there's some people, you know, in a group who think that they can tell atheists what type of book they can own. There's an individual in particular who said, you know, atheists should not own Bibles or holy books.
What?
Well, I'm going to say this. Atheists better know that book. Because that is the only way that we can convince our brothers and sisters that Christianity and religion is wrong. It is a wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
We better know each and every inconsistency and contradiction in that book in order to convince them. So, that's what kind of worries me, that I kind of see our movement taking a bit of religiosity to it. I mean, when you think about the fact that someone thinks that they can tell another atheist that they should not be owning holy books, right? That's dogma.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
you
that's
know,
true.
That's dogma. And, you know, it worries me because I do not want our movement to take on a sense of religiosity.
Right.
You know?
That's
one of the reasons I became an atheist, because of the freedom it offers. You know, I don't have to worry about some sky daddy looking at me or in my mind for impure thoughts and, you know, ready to whack me across the head with a hammer. You know, so, you know, as an atheist,
right.
I don't have to worry about that.
You know, I have 15 Bibles myself, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep, 15 different Bibles, just so they can say, because what happened was that every time I have a debate with, like, Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or any other Christians that come into the house, I always let them in, by the way. I love it. It's like, come on, do you want some tea? Sit down. Enjoy yourself. And and we start talking, and they'll be like, well, that's not in my Bible. Which one you got? Yeah, okay, I got that one too. Hold on. And I'll grab that Bible, and I've got that one all marked up with footnotes and stuff. And it's like, they can't get away. I'm ready for you. And, of course,
absolutely.
I noticed that the people and have you noticed the same thing I have? I'm sure you noticed this as well, that the people who say, oh, don't read that, you know, you don't need to read the Bible, or don't argue with religion with them, are the same ones who typically don't know the Bible, or they haven't been successful in actually arguing with the Bible. It's been very successful for me, you know, because not only do I know the philosophic side, the theology, and the science, I can use all three. So I can show them the Bible stuff they never knew before, then I can explain to them how it really is and how to think about it, you know.
Right.
So
that's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And,
but,
you know, oh, yeah, definitely, and I agree. We definitely need to be able to use the Bible, you know, to argue our points, if you will, because, you know, again, going back into the free thought history, a lot of people don't realize, and I encourage them to go back and read some of Martin Luther King Jr.'s later works, especially the Letter to Birmingham. Some of his later works were very secular in nature. And from my understanding, from what I read, the only reason why religion was infused in the civil rights movement, in that particular part of the civil rights movement, is because the white nationalists were using the Bible to justify the mistreatment of blacks. And so Martin Luther King and the people involved in the civil rights movement at that time, they pretty much had to use the Bible to kind of shut those arguments down. And just another piece of free thought history,
the civil rights movement, the origination of the civil rights movement started in the late 1890s by another free thinker, W.E.B. Du Bois. That is why
he was
considered the grandfather of the civil rights movement. And a lot of people don't realize that the Civil Rights Act that was signed in the 60s was not the first one. It was the second one. So this is why I encourage people to go back and read the history and to understand the history to know where we came from as people in general, but in particular to understand the contributions from the free thought community, because the Harlem Renaissance, the free, and the Civil Rights Movement, all of these movements were started by secularists, and they were kind of somewhat hijacked by religionists. Exactly.
Yes, they have been. And I was going to mention that, too, because the King's March, right? The King's March? It wasn't his march. You know what I mean? And you hear this kind of stuff, you know, and it's like the same thing with his speech is more popular because only because he's religious. There are socialists there, you know, people leaning toward communists, independents, there are atheists. Like, you know,
that's
right. So many other people gave talks that day. But M.L. King's, we got some noise here. Yeah, but M.L. King's talk was the most popular one. You know, and again, I'm not trying to devalue his talk. I'm trying to show how the media, you know, the religious media ostracized, you know, and just devalued the secular talk speakers, you know. And that's a shame.
It is.
Exactly. And we have
Hey, this is Raina. Don't let me break up the conversation. I just wanted to say that when I came to grips with the fact that I was an atheist, you know, I listened to your show and it helped me out a lot because I was really resistant to using that term before I started listening to your show, mainly because of just sort of the stigma. Attached to it. And I remember seeing your show too, and it's really funny because I've seen it twice. And the first time I saw it, I was still a believer, semi believing, and I had a very different perception of it then than I do now. So, but I just wanted to say thanks a lot for everything you do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Excellent. And Raina is a neuroscientist, Reggie. So that's why I say we have all these resources for training. I'm not sure
everybody. When I do it, if you're done, I just start muting everybody.
I just muted the person that's not done on purpose.
Yeah.
But, Raina is a neuroscientist.
It says Jesus 555. Was that him? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. So you said Raina was a neuroscientist. Well, that's a scientist. That's cool. Or involved in neuroscience. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Excellent. So, you know, maybe she can come on one day and explain some of this brain stuff to us.
I'm curious, Raina. What do you think about Sam Harris's work?
To be honest with you, I don't really get a lot of chance to read for pleasure. I actually just finished for Lawrence Krauss's book, and I was doing that as an audio book. But I think I actually have to physically read his book in order to understand it a little bit more. So I am going to read that. I haven't really, I have, five or six different ebooks on my Nook right now, and I just, go back and forth, so I can't even tell you what I'm reading right now.
You know,
I'm
the same way. I might as well just go ahead and glue them all together, because,
when I get a chance, I promise, read some of Sam Harris's work, and we'll talk about it. But I did get to read one of his studies that was published, and I think that was concerning meditation and prayer, you know, and sort of, you know, what happens to you. I can't remember the specifics. I'd have to, you know, pick it back up again because that's not actually my area of expertise.
Okay.
So, but I'd have to read it again in order to talk about it intelligently.
Right.
But
yeah,
I'd be happy to talk about it.
Okay, but yeah, I don't care anything to do with the brain and this relationship to, you know, how we perceive it. I would love to hear that. That's cool.
Yeah.
But thank you
for
calling in. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So like I said, we have a lot of different resources. We have people that have, you know, expertise in so many different areas, and we have to find a way to pull these resources to help each other so that we can make it to the next level and actually make a positive and constructive impact in the community. And that's why,
right.
You know, I've been very fortunate. You know, people talk about social media, you know, having its issues, but I've met a lot of brilliant people on social media. So, again, you have to use it to your advantage and use it for something positive. But it's just interesting. Are you familiar with the Daniel Dennett study?
Which one?
Yeah, you know, the last one he did with Linda LaScola regarding the atheist in the pulpit.
No, I'm curious. What's the basic overview of it? What happened?
Well, basically, he was talking about how we have some non-believers and atheists in the pulpit. And
oh, I knew that.
They're pretty much afraid to come forth because this is their livelihood. And that happens not only in the pulpit, but in the pews as well. So that goes back to something that you had spoken on earlier in regards to some of the Christians. You question whether they are truly Christians because of their behavior.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and to be fair to them, I know a few, honestly, and I can't say who they are. I know a few, and to be fair to them, it's not just because of their livelihood. These are people that have established decade-long relationships with these families, and they know that if they put them on the right track via free thinking and whatnot, they will be better people intellectually. They're just not so sure that they'd be better off psychologically. So they're very worried about the actual welfare of their patrons, and that's what they've been telling me. They don't know how to get out of it. They wish somebody else in the audience would just jump up and stand up and slowly help, you know, wean them off of themselves. But they do things like whole Bible study, and they're hoping someone's going to jump up and say, that doesn't make sense, Pastor. What about so-and-so and so-and-so? So he can say, you know, I didn't think of it that way. You might got a point there. What do you think? You know, but
right,
no one's jumping up and doing it. So he doesn't know how to wean them off it. They're addicted to it. This is what they have been on forever. So be fair to them. That's also another aspect they're dealing with. It's not just the money.
Exactly. And that's the reason why, again, you know, we have to get out there and remain in the trenches and come back.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, I mean, slowly but surely we're getting there. And I know some of my guys, you know, here with Black Nonbelievers of Chicago, you know, we are actually going to start going to different Bible studies and getting out there. Frank,
there you go.
The young man in the chat room who had, was speaking of you and you had acknowledged Frank, he's a member of Black Nonbelievers of Chicago as well. So we're getting out there. We're going to start going to these Bible studies. We're trying to bridge, you know, relationships between the secular and the believing community. I know I'm going to be participating in a interfaith panel at the end of the month here and, you know, starting to bridge, you know, those gaps there and facilitate some type of understanding. And, again, this goes to all of you. You know, we can all play a part. You know, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there. Talk to somebody. Explain some things. Come to us. We can give you material. We can give you some research. You know, we can help you so that you can help others. And that's what it's all about.
And, you know, and I must add to this, in respect to affecting change, as you mentioned before, you know, it's not just bringing in non-religious groups. We need to bring in those very liberal religious groups, too. We have to remember that, you know, during the whole, in the 60s, when the government was could no longer force prayer on students, there were many Jewish organizations that had a lot to do with that too. You know, it wasn't just atheists that were involved in the process. And so sometimes we have to remember that many of our best allies are the religious people. You know, and also think about Ken Miller. Is he confused theologically? Hell yes. But Ken Miller, you know, respected evolutionary biologist, has some of the best arguments for evolution, and he is a Catholic. You know, so we have to remember that we have peers out there who are religious, and we can tap
and utilize them to help us spearhead our movements as well. And we can use them to do things like provide talks and show up at our events too, even though they might not, you know, they're mostly secular with a religious slant, but they're still on our side. So let's make sure we don't ostracize them too.
Exactly. Utilize all the resources, yes, because the NAACP was started by W.E.B. Du Bois and, you know, people from the Jewish community as well. So, yeah, we have
right.
to utilize, you know, all of the resources. And, you know, that goes to show because, I mean, you know, I want to hit on the current topic real quick, just kind of get some of your thoughts on this, with the Trayvon Martin situation.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I get almost speechless sometimes. I am so outraged by this whole thing. You know, my whole thing is this. Even when I think of it this way, even if Trayvon Martin did just out of nowhere willy-nilly beat this man down, you know what I mean? Which he would have deserved, apparently. You know, and I'm still thinking, you still. How can I back it up a different way? Let's say it another way. Let me just say this. He should have been locked up. Period. I hate to say it. If the roles were different, he would have been locked up. And of course, what I mean by that, if he would have been some other, you know, stereotype minority, black, for instance, he would be in jail right now, and he'd be in jail while they look for evidence. I have friends that are locked up today, on suspicion, and the investigators are looking for evidence while the guy's locked up. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Tell me, they can't lock this guy up while they get the rest of their arguments together. There's enough reason to put him behind your bars as it is. So that outrages me. Even if, let's say, the whole thing is really screwed up and Trayvon Martin ran a million miles down the street and beat him up for no reason, still he should be locked up. We should be investigating him, you know. And it's like, oh, what is going on with society? And I'm hopeful that, you know, now that the federal government's got involved, there's too much evidence against this guy that's coming out. There's more and more stuff coming out. I'm hopeful that justice will be served, but if it is not served in the traditional way, unfortunately, I don't got to feel. You know what? I'm not going to say anything on this show negative. I just think justice will be served inevitably. That's all I got to say about this case. I'm hopeful that it will be, but the fact that it's gotten to the way it is today, this is ridiculous. It took, what, over 3 weeks for it to even hit the public eye, you know, and I'm outraged about this whole thing.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel the same way. And, you know, I say we have to look at the big picture and, again, go back out, register to vote, and vote out those people who are trying to hide behind that stand your ground laws and other laws out there that they have.
But the stand your ground law, of course, you know, the stand your ground law is not even applicable to this idiot. It's not even applicable.
No.
The guy walked
exactly.
up to him, you know, and I'm sitting thinking, yeah, sure, the law needs to be reviewed, but that's a red herring. They're moving the goalposts. They're trying to focus on this law. Don't even worry about that. That's bull crap. You know, we're reviewing something we don't even need to look at right now. We need to look at the incident that occurred with Trayvon Martin and focus on that only. Is there enough evidence to put this man behind bars? Yes, there is, period. I don't know
exactly.
what they're waiting on, and I think the police department is just trying to cover their ass. And they're making it worse for them, too. The more they try to hide what really happened, the worse they're making it for themselves. And that's it.
Exactly. And it doesn't hurt that Mr. Zimmerman's dad is a retired judge.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he keeps coming up with these statements. I'm like, you weren't even there. He keeps coming out with statements as if he was standing next to Zimmerman or something. He's making all these strange, absolute statements as if he knows with certainty what happened. And he wasn't even there. And yet all the evidence
right.
points to a story different than what he's saying. I wasn't there either, but the evidence damn sure seemed to tell a pretty good story. You know? And it's
exactly.
like, oh, wow. But,
exactly.
I just wanted to get
your thoughts on that because that story, you know, it has incensed me in ways that, you know, it's just had my thoughts all over the place. And, you know, it was a grave injustice, and this young man lost his life. And, you know, I just want to make
right.
sure that, you know, we as a community, you know, again, the protests and the rallies, those are all wonderful, but we have to look beyond that. We want to get long-term effects from this situation, you know, not necessarily
right.
allow them to give us some rhetoric and send us on our way. We want to exact real change. And so we, you know, although it's an unfortunate situation, we need to use it to our benefit in order to, again, like I say, vote certain people out of office that are against
social justice,
because there are some people out there that, you know, are trying to justify the behavior of this guy and, you know, some of these right-wing people that are standing behind him and putting money into his legal defense fund, and in spite of all the evidence that's mounting up against him. So, I mean, I think we just need to keep our eyes and our ears open, and we need to remain rational behind this as well, because
I don't want
to see people out there getting hurt or hurting others, because we don't want another L.A. situation, whereas, you know, with the riots.
No, we don't. But it's almost as if they're trying. It's almost, I mean, I don't say they. I hate when people say they are. But, you know, we do see this kind of increase in chatter about race wars, usually mostly coming from the white side. And, you know, or so I say some white folks I've seen on the Internet. And that's scary. I don't want them thinking that that's inevitably where it has to go. And we need to make sure we get that out of our minds, that there's going to be some war over this, rather than, you're right, as you mentioned, just talking about it rationally. Why can't we discuss it? We're kind of programmed to hit the streets every time. Hitting the streets is just not as effective as doing actually good hardcore research, staying rational, and just providing the evidence and staying on topic. Because if people were thinking more rational about this, like you said, we would be focusing on this standard ground law. We'd be looking at some other things. And I think that's holding us back when we don't look at things rationally and instead emotionally. Because I know as a skeptic, I had to stand back a few times too and say, wait a minute, okay, let me look at all the evidence. You know, and it's really hard to ascertain every detail that happened. But regardless, he should still be behind bars right now while being investigated. So,
exactly.
That's true. So, thank you.
And, you know, again, you know, so, you know, moving forward, because, you know, Trayvon Martin isn't the only young man that's been in that particular situation that's been victimized and killed for, you know, whatever reason, whether it's for race or, you know, class or what have you. You know, these are issues that we need to address. We need to address those particular issues. I'm working on a show talking about race, and, you know, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it. I posted a video from Alice Walker the other day in which she said his killing is basically a symptom of the illness in our country, and it's because of unaddressed racial issues. So, you know, we need to talk about
That's right. We're still not looked at as equals in their mind. We're not even looked at as human in some cases still, even in modern society. I mean, we're a blight. We're a problem. We've been pigeonholed, stereotyped, and put into one category, and all black people are this way, all black people are that way. And you're right. It's time for that to stop. You know, we need to look at each other. We're all human beings on this planet. We have to live here regardless. We don't like whether we like it or not. We're here. And I think a lot of scientific evidence is showing more and more and more as well, you know, of course, you know, who we really are. And but unfortunately, social ties and culture are so prominent and prejudices are so strong, you know, sometimes it's hard to break that cycle. But I know I try to, you know, do the best I can, represent myself as well as I can. If individuals perceive me as black, you know, good for them. That's you know, that is what I am via nomenclature. But it's really my goal just to represent being the best human I can, so that I can effectuate the best positive change I can in the entire world, you know, and that's what my mission is.
Excellent, and I agree with you. And so again, we thank Reggie for being our guest today. You are phenomenal. We thank everybody who called in: Dr. Bev, Mario, Raina, Madhu, Miles. Other young lady, I forgot, Natalie, I believe she said her name was. And, you know, again, you know, all of the callers, all of the people listening, you know, at the archives, people in the chat room, you know, we thank you. We thank you for all of your support. And, Reggie, let us know what's coming up for you. Let us know what's happening in your world right now. What should we be expecting from you?
Well, it looks like I've just done this program. I think this program is going to be what I kind of needed to help spearhead me and get more active. And I have been. I've been, you know, doing a little bit more writing. I've been doing other interviews. I've been going to more lectures in town and stuff and talking to past guests on the program, letting them know I'm going to be coming back. So I'm kind of getting everything prepared for me to come back in. But, again, I do need some suggestions and advice on what the public would want to see, or so shall I say what you guys want to see if I do come back, if I do come up with a video program
what is it that you want to see? What is it that you want to see that's different that I haven't done before? So I'm always looking for suggestions, and you can email me at infidelguy@infidelguy.com. Yeah, you can't forget that one. And I will reply to you, and I really appreciate, and again, I appreciate all the support over the years, and I hope to continue what I'm doing, you know, long until I can't do it anymore. So.
Excellent, and I will definitely hit you up to have some great ideas, and, you know, maybe we can collaborate on a couple of things in the future. Definitely looking forward to that. But again, you know, you have my 100% support and encouragement, and, you know, again, just wanted to let you know how inspirational you were, you know, when I first came into the community, when I admitted to myself. I had already known, but, you know, once you get to the point where you're willing to admit it to others, you know, that's a big transition in your life.
And I'm sorry, I forgot to mention real quick, Facebook. Don't forget, go to Facebook, facebook.com/infidelguy, or just search for Reginald V. Finley Sr., and join me there, because I post a lot of commentary about things happening in philosophy and critical thinking, and giving my opinions about stuff there all the time. So check that out, and you'll see whatever new girl I'm dating for that week. As well. I'm just kidding. But check
it
out.
Excellent. And Reggie, we just want to let you know that, you know, our doors are open to you. You are welcome to come back anytime. And if there's anything we can do to assist you, we definitely are here for you. And I will hit you up with an email, and, you know, we'll talk, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much. I would love
all
to come
right
back.
There you go. Thank you. And everybody, bye-bye. You all have a lovely rest of the weekend. Good night.
Bye-bye.